Hey friends, I'm Brad Livingston, lead pastor here at Transformation Church. I want to personally welcome you to our podcast. At TC, we exist to see people transform from who they are to who God wants them to be. So no matter where you are on your faith journey, I hope today's message inspires you to take one step closer to Christ.
Good morning. Welcome to TC. Yeah, let's give it up for him. It's so funny to me because when we made that video originally, it was for like Journey and like these, and then it got a little weird there towards the end between LL Cool J and so welcome to TC, man. We are so excited to have you guys in the Summer Jams series. And if you're new, we've been in a series we're wrapping up today called Summer Jams, where we just take some of our favorite songs or pastime songs and we just make a sermon out of the idea behind it. So today I want to talk to you about, let me clear my throat. And what I mean by that is I got something to say. How many of y'all remember growing up where your parents, if you were acting wild, they would do that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever had someone do that, but the person they're doing it to is not getting it? You're like, bro, you need a throat lozenge? What are you doing? Like, brother, you need a Halls is what you need, right? Like, and so what happens? When we're trying to clear our throat, that means I got something to say, which usually if it was your mom, it would sit down, shut up. No, you can't have nothing in the grocery store. Okay, so, but let me clear my throat. I got something to say. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. And recently I was stumbling across Disney Plus. And so don't judge me, okay? But I was watching Disney Plus. I was scrolling through the movies, and something hit me because I started seeing movies I forgot existed. Me and Eli were chilling on the couch. He walked in, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was watching this movie, Rescuers Down Under. I don't know if any of y'all remember that or not. Okay. All right, so I was scrolling Facebook first. This is how crazy this is. I was scrolling Facebook first. I saw a picture of the lizard on the rock when the water was going by. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot that movie even existed. Like, I was like, so what do? You go look it up, right? And it was on Disney Plus. And I was like, he walked in. He's like, are you watching Rescuers Down Under? And I was like, I got two questions. One, you've been here 3 seconds. How did you know that's what this movie was? And two, you're 21 years old. How do you know what movie this is? Like, he's 25, so I don't know how old he is. He's in his 20s, and he shouldn't know what movie that is. But then I went off on a tangent because I was like, and then it started reminding me of movies I forgot about, like Three Ninjas. Y'all remember Three Ninjas? Okay, so all right, we're in the same boat, right? So I was watching all these movies, but here's what got interesting to me. I couldn't remember how the movies ended. So it was like, I remember liking the movie, but I don't really remember how this movie ends. Right, and so like it was taking me back to being in Kentucky where we used to live and being a kid and watching a movie and be like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. And so I was doing all that, but then like it was in the beginning of the movie, in the first third of the movie, and I was like, man, I don't remember how this goes. Like, I don't remember how this movie goes. And so it had been so long, I started asking myself, like, man, what is the ending look right here? And then it started making me think about kind of what I want to talk to you about today. Because hear me, I want some of you to lean into this, and I want you to pay real close attention. Where you're at in your life is not the end. Like, whatever you're going through right now, where you feel like you can't make it any further, it's not over. Like, God has not given you the final chapter of the book of your life to end the way that it's currently ending right now. Wherever you're at and you feel like you don't know if you can keep going, I'm here to tell you that God has not given you the last page yet. There is still more to come. It is not over for you. And you may not be able to see how the ending goes just yet, but I want to encourage you to know that God has written the ending of your story, and the ending of your story is different than the middle of your story. And you may be struggling right now, but what you're struggling with will not be what you end with, because God is bigger than everything that we're already interacting with. And I'm here to tell you today that it is not over. God has not finished the way that you are finishing, and he's got more to write on your story. So I want to encourage you out of the gate that this isn't it. Now, for some of you, you should be clapping louder than that. For some of you, I want to encourage you, y'all better preach while I preach today. I've been off 4 weeks, so y'all better bring the heat because I'm bringing it, okay? So, like, how many of you are glad that where you are now may not be where you end? How many of you are glad that what you are struggling with now isn't going to be the thing that you struggle with when it's over? Hear me. The best has yet to come in your life. Therefore, what you are going through will not be what you end with. So I got something to say. It's not over yet. God has more that he's going to do. And when I started unpacking this, it took me to Romans 4:17. And I want to give this to you briefly, but we're going to spend a lot of our time in Genesis, actually. But Romans 4:17, it says this: it is God who gives life to the dead. And this is the part I want you to get right here. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, he calls things that don't exist, but he speaks to them as if they existed. And when God speaks to things to exist, hear me, they may not have existed yet, but because he spoke to them, they do now. And whatever you may be going through in your life right now, it may have looked a certain way before God showed up, but I'm here to tell you, he always shows up. And when he shows up, nothing is the same after he shows up. So, but Paul is talking about something. Paul's the one that wrote this, and he's actually talking about Abram when he's referencing this. He says that he calls things to exist that didn't exist before. And I want to take you to Genesis 15 because that's where we see the story unfolding that Paul is talking about. And in Genesis 15, it says this, verses 4 and 5, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, talking about Abram, and says, this man will not be your heir. So to catch you up on who Abram is, he gets a blessing from God. He's faithful. He gets a blessing from God. And God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your lineage. I'm going to bless the generations that come after you. And it's all going to be through you. All right. And that's what we pick up in verse four and five. Because he hadn't had a son yet and he was 75 years old, he says, I'm no longer going to have an heir. So someone else is going to be the one that has, that takes over my family. They're going to take over my benefits. They're going to take over my house. They're going to take over my land. They're going to take over all those things because I don't have a son. And he says, not only are you going to have a son, he says, this man who you're talking about won't be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So he's saying, you're going to have a son at 75. Let that sink in. I'm a 75. I'm like, you know what? I feel like we missed that bus already. Anyway, so he took him outside. He said, look up at the sky and count the stars. So shall your offspring be. In other words, the generations after you, they're going to be so many. The number is going to be so high, it'll outnumber the stars in the sky. Now, he's 75 when he gets this word. And so he believes it, right? And so 10 years go by, and still there's no son. So he gets a promise from God. You're going to have a son, and through that son, I'm going to bless the world. And so he's like, all right, cool. How many of us have ever been in a situation where we've heard from God, we believed in our heart that God was going to do something, and so we start believing. We're saying, all right, God, I believe you're going to do it. And a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, a month goes by, a year goes by. And I don't know about you, but you may end up like me, which is like after about a year, you're like, okay, maybe I heard wrong. Like maybe I had bad indigestion during prayer time. 10 years goes by. And after 10 years, he sits down with his wife, Sarah, and they're like, I don't know. Like, what if God doesn't let Sarah have a baby? What if this doesn't go the way that we wanted? What if this isn't going to happen the way we thought this was going to happen? Like, what if God was wrong? What if we heard wrong? What if it doesn't go the way we need it to go? What if God doesn't let Sarah have the baby? And so what happens is Sarah gives her servant Hagar to Abram and says, have a baby with Hagar, that way your seed, because God didn't promise me, he promised you. So have a baby with her, since it seems like I can't have a baby. And he does. He has a baby with Hagar and names him Ishmael. But how many of you know when you take God's situation into your control, it never turns out well? Right? When God's doing something, and because he doesn't do it on our time frame, we start taking control of our time frame because we don't like the way God moves when he does it on his clock. And so what happens is he has a baby with Hagar, but that wasn't what God wanted. God said, no, I said, you and Sarah are going to have a baby and I'm going to bless. So just because you went on your way doesn't mean I'm going to do it your way. But here's the problem. How many guys know that we can start to get into our head about these what ifs? Like, what if God doesn't come through the way I thought he was going to? What if Sarah can't get pregnant? But take that into your life for just a second. What if this job doesn't come through the way I thought it was going to come through? What if I can't afford to live the life? What if this marriage doesn't end the way I've been praying that it would? What if this degree doesn't lead to the degree or to the career? What if all these things don't work out? What if this health report comes back negative? What if the cancer's still there? What if this job doesn't produce what I needed to produce? What if we lose the house? What if our kids keep going crazy? What if life doesn't show up the way I always believed it would? And what if God doesn't do what he said he was going to do? Because how many know what ifs will destroy you? Like, how many guys have ever lived in fear so bad that you let the what ifs overcome your reality? Like, man, what if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this happens? And I sit down with people all the time. They're like, Pastor Brad, I just don't know. What if this and what if that? I'm like, what if God shows up? Like, I know you've what if the doctor's report. I know you've what if the financial statement. I know you've what if the job. I'm here to tell you, what if God is as faithful as he says he is and he can do all the things he says he can do? Like, what if we believed more in God rather than the doctor's report? Like, what if we believed more in his provision than we believed in our job? Now listen, do the medicine, keep your job, do all those things. I'm just saying, what if our faith came from somewhere else rather than all the things we can't see? Because what we're seeing here is Abram saying, I don't see how God's gonna do it there, so I'm gonna make it happen here. The problem is that never really works out well. Because what, and then we can find ourselves in this place. Like, what if everybody leaves me and I have no one? But the Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, but like, what if I lose my job? Well, it says that, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, right? Like, what if I have nothing in my life? What if he doesn't come through for me? But the Bible says that he knows when the birds fall from the air, and aren't we more important than the ones that he's put in the air? And if he's created all things, couldn't we have a confidence that because he's created all things, he's created us as part of all things, and he has a plan for everything. And since he has a plan for everything, he can do anything with us if we'll just submit to the fact that God is bigger and God is greater than any single thing that we could possibly have a desire for. And hear me, what if we quit challenging God with what ifs, and what if we started letting the what ifs challenge our faith? What if God came through? What if he did what he said he was going to do? And what if we watch the world be impacted by our story because we put our faith where it belongs? What could change if we stopped thinking about the ways it wouldn't go wrong and started paying attention to the ways God could drive it to go right? The problem is, he rarely works in our schedule. So here's the real question, and this is in your notes. What if you're spending your whole life worried about the things you aren't supposed to worry about? What if you're spending all your energy? What if you don't have joy, you don't have peace, you don't have happiness? Your marriage might be in trouble, your kids are losing their mind. And what they really need is someone to be centered on joy and peace. And you can't do that because you lost faith in God. And I'm here to tell you today that there is hope for you. And there is hope that God would do what he said he was going to do. But hear me, your family needs you faithful more than they need you active. And so what I think we should do, you ready? You need to reframe your what if game. You need to reframe your what if game. You need to stop looking through the crooked frames of how life has always gone wrong for you, and you need to frame it up right to where you're going to start declaring how God's going to do the right thing for you. So we need to reframe. Turn to your neighbor and say, reframe it. Come on, they didn't believe you. Say, reframe it. All right, turn to the person you just neglected on the other side of you, okay? Tell them, reframe it. So you need to reframe your what if game, because the what ifs may be robbing you of the joy that's going to get you through this. So we need to change the game. So we go back to Genesis, where we're picking up on the story with Abram, right? And when Abram was 99 years old, so I want to catch you up. When he's 99, that means 24 years later. Turn to your neighbor and say 24. 24 years later, not 2.4 months, 24 years later since he received the promise, 24 years after he was told this would happen. When he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Say faithfully. Say blameless. Faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Now, I think that it's interesting here how God shows up, but hear me, he shows up and he gives Abraham the instruction, be faithful and blameless, because God is saying that it is up to us to stay faithful even when you are uncertain. Stay faithful even when things seem unclear. Stay faithful when you don't know how it's going to work out, and be blameless. In other words, don't become so frustrated in your uncertainty that it drives you to the action that would cause blame on you to become unworthy to receive the promise. So he says, be faithful and blameless. And he goes on, verses 5-8, no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I've made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. He says, no, this promise still stands. And I want you to believe today. I want you to hear me. It's not over. God's promise still stands. Whatever you've been believing for, it's not over yet. God's promise still stands. Whatever you've been going through, whatever life has thrown at you over the time, and you don't know where it's going to come from, you're not sure how it's going to go, hear me, it's not over yet. God's promise still stands. So if he promised it, if he's declared it to you, if he's given it, then hear me, God's promise still stands, and it's not over yet. The final chapter has not been given to you. It's been written, but it's not been given to you. And I want you to grab a hold of that reality, because since it's been written, it just hadn't been given to you. That means God already knows what the ending looks like. God has already written the final chapter of your life. And hear me, you can go to the book of Revelation and you can see at the very end, no matter what happens, we win. So it doesn't matter everything that's happening in this world. Hear me, at the end, we win, because we're on God's side and God wins. And so we can have faithful confidence in that God is going to carry us. It's not over. You see, sometimes you got to look back to let it drive you forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, look back. Sometimes you got to look back to let it drive you forward. See, sometimes we have to get to a point in our life where we look back at God's faithfulness to let it drive us forward. Now, the problem is many of us look back and stay back. You see, many of us try to drive our life forward while looking in the rearview mirror. Now, if you were to get in your car today, crank it, put it in reverse, get out on the road, and only drive looking in the rearview mirror, where are you going to go? No, nobody know, all right? All I know is I'm going to wait till you get there before I leave, okay? So where are you going to? I don't know. Here's what I'm telling you, though. For many of us, we live in the past of our failures rather than visiting the past of our successes. We live in the past of all the things that went wrong rather than visiting the past of all the things God made go right. And we need to go to the past a little bit to let it drive us forward. See, some of us need to get to the point in our life that we declare, this might be where I'm at, but it doesn't have to be where I'm staying. So this might be where I'm at. This might be the struggle. This might be the hurt. This might be the hardship. I may not like this job. I may not like this doctor's report. I may not like the fact that this is what they're saying. I may not like the fact that I got that pink slip or that we may lose this house. I may not like the fact that this is our current financial situation. I may not like the fact that this is where I'm at in my relationships or in my marriage or whatever. I may not like that, but hear me. This might be where you're at, but it doesn't have to be where you're staying. And so this might just be the land that you need to move through, not where the land where you need to camp at, all right? And so we need to figure out the reality that God has called us to move through this season, not stay in this season. And this is the place where God gets to deliver us to the next thing rather than leaving us at this thing. Because God's faithful to keep us moving. Philippians 3:13-14 says it like this. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What he's talking about is the success and all the things that he should be and the way he should be moving. But one thing I do, say one thing. Listen, y'all better help me preach for this last half. I'm telling y'all right now, y'all too quiet for the 9 a.m. service. I said, say one thing. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, forgetting the failures. I know that your grandmama and your mama might have been that way. That don't mean you got to be that way, ma'am. I know your grandfather and your father that way. That doesn't mean you got to be that way, sir. That does not have to be the way you live life, and that certainly does not have to be the way that your children live their life moving forward. Things can change starting with you. And so this might be where you're at, but it doesn't have to be where you're staying. He says, one thing I do, I'm forgetting what's behind in regards to my failures. And I'm straining forward towards what's ahead. And here are the three words. I love these words. I press on. But you don't know what's going on in my life, Brad. You just don't know how hard things. I press on. You don't know what I've been through. I press on. You don't know how hard it was growing up with a mom that was poor and I was born in a poverty. I press on. You don't know what it was like to not have a father in the home, and because of that, I don't know what love feels like, and I press on. You don't know what it's like to be born and not know what success. I press on. You don't know what it's like to have a cancer report. I press on. You don't know what it's like to feel like I've lost my job, my career is over. Hear me. You can press on. Forgetting what's behind you, you can't change yesterday, but tomorrow is yet to be written for you. And so we've got to bring ourselves to this place where this might be where I'm at. Because pretending what is here doesn't do anybody any good. This might be where I'm at, but it's not where I'm staying. I press on. And here's what I think all of us are tempted to do. If you think of a yardstick, how many of y'all know what a yardstick looks like? Some of these kids, I feel like y'all don't use them in school anymore. For those of us that grew up in my generation, that was what your teacher broke over the desk. Swap out. But I think of a yardstick, and it's got all those inch marks, 36 of those inch marks. And here's what many of us are tempted to do. We're tempted out of 36 of those, if every one of those inch marks represents an area where God came through for you in the timeline of your life, where you didn't know how he was going to get you through that 10 years ago, but he did. You didn't know how he was going to get you through that 8 years ago, but he did. He was faithful here, and he was faithful there, and he was faithful there, and he was faithful there, and he was faithful there. And here we are, and we'll hold it out. And so for many of us, we could see all the times where we weren't sure how God was going to do it, but then somehow he did it. And all of a sudden, we're on number 35 out of 36, and we're going, I don't know if he's going to do it this time. And sometimes we need to visit his faithfulness of the past to let it be the encouragement in the present to see the future. See, some of us need to get out of where we've come from as regards to the negativity of our past. And sometimes we need to revisit the success and the blessings of our past. How God was faithful consistently every step of the way. Hear me, I want you to understand something. If God got you here, he most assuredly will get you there. If he got you this far, he has not come this far to let you down. He will get you to the next step. Hear me, God is faithful to continue and finish the work that he started in your life. He has not brought you this far to let you down here. Can I tell you something? I want to encourage you today to believe that God will carry you every step of the way. He's got you, and it's not over yet. The best is yet to come in your life. But here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Your inability to see how doesn't change the fact that God still can. Your inability to see how doesn't change the fact that God still can. I don't see how this is going to happen. Since when have we ever saw how it was going to happen? When was the last time God asked for input? Like, how many of y'all have had great suggestions for God? Hey, God, I just saw this. There's a way over here. If you wanted to know, I saw it. There was an off ramp from this situation. There was an off ramp. Like, so if God, if our life could just kind of hook to the right now, that'd be great. Someone calls you with a job offer, and you're like, God, I don't know what you're doing up there, but there's some stuff happening down here. Like, he don't know. Like, so God, I thought maybe you weren't paying attention. Maybe you were still busy blessing them over there because you forgot about me. Oh, like we don't act. Okay, all right. So How many of us have suggestions for God where we're going, God, if you could just, I know it's just little old me down here. And I know I don't deserve it. Come on, where y'all at? Where y'all at? Be honest. I know I don't deserve it. I know I've been wilding out past couple weeks. Right? They didn't have my favorite dessert when I went to that restaurant on Friday. I know I lost my temper a little bit. I shouldn't have done that. Okay, now we're here. All right, we're on the same way. Okay. Kids was acting wild the other day. I know I shouldn't have kicked the dog, but I didn't. No, I'm just kidding. Like, so, how many of us have had great suggestions for God? How many of them has he taken? Because his ways are higher than, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And if his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher, that means even the ones that you come up with that are good suggestions for God don't even touch the bottom of his plans for you. And so God is already establishing higher thoughts and higher plans where he's going to take you further than you would have taken you. Your suggestion, I mean, I want you to think about it just for a second. I want you to think about the things and the suggestions you had for God. I want you to think about that relationship you were begging God to work out for. Thank God that didn't work out for you, right? Like, where would you be today if you had married that person? Dear heavens, right? Like, thank God he didn't let your prayers work out for you because he knew better for you than you knew for yourself. Your inability to see how doesn't change the fact that God can. And so, because he can, I believe that he will. And so I was thinking back to the Disney movies as we were looking at some of the Disney movies that we were scrolling through. And one of the things that I remembered as I was sitting there is at the beginning of the movies, it was all a little kind of blurry, right? Like I still didn't remember what was going on there. And I'm going to invite the team to come on up, but I still didn't remember what all was going on there. And so I was kind of, as I was navigating these movies, I'm sitting here watching, and I'm not going to lie to you, like I was kind of nervous. But there was a couple of them, I was like, how does this, I don't even know. Does the eagle make it? I don't know. For y'all that know that rescue with me, I was like, "Does he? I don't know. He's in the net. I don't know. It's crazy." So I was, and then Three Ninjas, which I don't know. Where's my Three Ninjas people at? Where y'all? We got eight, nine, ten. Okay, so it's the dumbest movies you've ever seen. If you watch them as an adult, you're like, "This is terrible." They threw like a can of soup and said "Hi-ya" or something. I don't know. It was atrocious. The time was amazing. But I'm watching these movies, and in each one of the movies, I'm trying to figure out how it ends, but I can't remember how it ends. And there were different movies where I was like, man, I don't really know. How does this, I was like, I don't know how this is going to end. Like, how is this going to go? And like, for me, I was like, in the beginning going, this is crazy. And then towards the middle, it started getting bad. You know, in the middle of the movie is where things get bad. I was like, I was 8 years old again. Edge of my couch, Indian style. Oh my gosh. We're watching it, and it always gets to the worst part of the movie. There's no way out. The main character has no hope. Like all hope is lost, right? But that's when my memory kicked in. Because it was in the movie, when I was watching the movie and everything was going wrong, and I was like, oh gosh, I don't remember how this is going to go. Like, I can't remember what's going to happen here. And it wasn't until it got bad again that I remembered, I've seen this before. Like, I've seen the ending of this before. Like, I remember how this goes. I've seen it before. I know how this ends. And the whole time I was watching it going, oh man, I forgot about that. This looks familiar. I kind of remember. But it wasn't until it got to the point where I didn't know how it was going to end. And all of a sudden something happens and I go, I remember how this ends. You see, my vision wasn't blurry anymore because I remembered what I had seen in the past. I remembered what I had watched happen before, and I believed it was gonna happen again. I hope some of you are grabbing a hold of what I'm talking about right now. For many of you, this situation, you don't know how it's gonna end, and I wanna invite you back to that place where you revisit the past to see what's gonna happen in the present for your future, because what God has done in the past to get you through, he'll do it again to get you through. Like, God has come so that he will bring us through that, and for some of us, we need to go back to where he brought us from. Some of you need to go back to your doctor's bed and you need to remember when the doctor said there is no hope. And all of a sudden we look 10 years later and here you are declaring the goodness of God. For some of you, you need to go back to where you were when your marriage was falling apart and everybody said it was over. And you look back and go, you know what, I've seen this before because I remember he was faithful then and he'll be faithful now. Some of you need to go back to the time that you lost your job, you lost your income, you were gonna lose your house. And yes, somehow God came through for you and he did something amazing in your life. I'm here to tell you today, some of us need to re-see what we've already seen, and that is that God's faithfulness in the past is evidence that he'll be faithful now. Everything that he's done has been evidence to show us that this isn't the end. This isn't where it stops. This isn't the last page of the book. This might be the last page of the chapter, but there's more coming because God's got something for your life. I'm here to tell you that he's faithful. And some of you parents, you need to remember when you were crying over the counter over your children and you didn't know how God was going to get them through what they were going through. Some of them were straight up knuckleheads. But God's faithfulness. Some of you need to remember when you were the children that your parents were praying for and God got you here now. He didn't leave you where you were at. We need to revisit what God is bringing us from. Every single part of our life is evidence that God is faithful in the now. And so what do? Well, the past is what you visit to remind your present about the promise. The past is what you visit to remind the present about the promise. And I want to take you to Psalm 77. And this is David's talking here, which is interesting because David becomes one of the descendants of Abraham generations later. And he's writing to us in the Bible after Abraham finally has a son with Sarah, names him Isaac. And for any of you that have ever grown up in church circles, you ever heard the phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac was the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And we move down the lineage and David pops up and he's the one that writes this in Psalms. And I want you to get this into your soul. Psalm 77:1, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. Anybody ever been there before? Seven of us. Anybody else? Anybody ever been in that place? I cried out for God to hear me. I cried out that he would hear my voice. I cried out in the midnight hour when no one even knew you were praying, when you were praying in the dark closet by yourself, when you were praying in your car and you were weeping in the Taco Bell parking lot. Come on, somebody. Like where you were crying out to God and you weren't sure that he could hear you. And I want to jump down to verse 11. It says this, and I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. This is David. Now, I love reading the psalm with David talking because you could watch his highs and his lows. How many of y'all know somebody that just rides highs all the time? They never have a bad day. You just want to slap them around a little bit, right? That's not David, though. David is saying, this is my fate. This is the end. God has turned his hand against me, and that's all. That's all that's ever going to be. David was believing what I was telling you not to believe, that it's not over. David's saying it's over. But then, oh, turn to your neighbor and say, but then. He's turned his hand against me, but then. He says, but then I recall all that you have done. He looks into the heavens and he says, I don't know how I'm gonna get out of this one, but I recall all that you have done in my life. I recall every place that you brought me from. I recall every situation you rescued me from. Oh Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I can't even stop thinking about your mighty works. And David looks into the heavens and says, this might be where I'm at, but it's not where I'm staying because my God is faithful to the end. Hear me, if Jesus got you here, he will most assuredly get you there. You may not know how, but I'm inviting you to look at your situation the same way I was watching those movies. You see, in the beginning and towards the middle, I might be a little blurry. Your vision might be blurry. You may not see how it's all gonna work out, but at some point you gotta start declaring, wait, I've seen this before. Where God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed out begging for bread. I've been young and now I'm old, but God's faithfulness endures. Hear me, you need to look at what you're going through. I've seen this before. I've seen him be faithful. Even when I wasn't looking for his faithfulness came after me. Even when I wasn't looking for him to be good, his goodness was coming after me. Even when I wasn't looking for grace, his grace came after me. Even when I wasn't looking for blessing, his blessing came after me. I made understand how it's gonna happen, but God's goodness will follow me all the days of our lives because he's faithful. Can we give God praise one time in this place this morning? He's good. It's not over. And for some of you, you need to hear that this morning. It's not over. This is not how it ends. Things may be great for you right now and good for you. But for some of you, it's been a hard couple months, maybe the last couple weeks, couple months. For some of you, you're like, brother, I forgot what good days even look like. Hear me. It's not over. The best is yet to come. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. God's faithfulness is coming after you in every arena of your life. So believe me, believe his word, and believe what he declares, that it may not be in your time, it may not be in your calendar, and it may not be with your suggestions, but our God is faithful in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are faithful to us. Oh, we thank you that you come through for your word. And so God, we come to you. And God, for every person that is in this room who they have believed or started to believe that the end ends with their demise. That a state of confusion, uncertainty, a lack of clarity, and that frustration is how their story ends. God, I pray that you show them that this is not how their story ends. Your faithfulness will carry us. God, I pray right now for every person that is here or that's watching online that has started to believe that the best is in the past. I pray you show them that the best has yet to come and that you are guiding, leading, and instructing our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you today, and we love you. If you're here and you would admit that you are here, maybe you know about God, but you don't know God. Maybe you've been a church goer, but Jesus has not taken over your life. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all blown it, every one of us. We've fallen short of God's standard in our lives. And because we've fallen short, we can't even stand next to God because he's holy. And so our sins separate us. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins so that we could have access back to God. And today, if you've let sin separate you from God, but today you're ready to let Jesus bring you back again and be in right standing with God. Today, if you want Jesus to take over your life, today, if you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life and you're ready to receive forgiveness and give your life to him, I'm ready to pray with you. And I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, and the whole church will pray it with you. And all you're doing is you're putting words to those actions that says, all right, Jesus, I'm giving you my life and I'm believing you're taking control. And so let's pray this together. Repeat after me. The whole church will pray it with you. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my wrongs. Make me clean. Make me whole. I believe you died for me. I believe you paid for my sins. So I give you my life. Make me brand new. Give me a fresh start. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. TC, let's give it up for all those that prayed that this morning. Man, we welcome you. Awesome, awesome, awesome.